Good evening, dear friends. For many of you, you've been attending Open Way Sangha for half the year already, it being January 2nd, and you're here. So keep it up. It's really lovely to see you all. It's always such a gift to be able to come and just be together, to just sit together in silence. I was reflecting, there was a sutra where the Buddha was staying in a forest with the Sangha, hundreds of monastics, and a king came to visit and didn't believe that there was anybody there practicing because they were all so quiet. Until he came to the grove where the Buddha and all the monastics were sitting, and was just very touched by the silence. And I think we were able to touch into that a little bit tonight too. To be able to have this many people in a room like this, just being quiet together. What a gift we give to ourselves and to the world. This is not usually how people are together. Not that you have to be different, but it's really wonderful to be here. And as we're entering into a new year and coming off of our year last year, if you were here last week, Peggy offered a practice around beginning anew, and she shared a reinterpretation of the Beginning Anew Sutra that's in our chant book, reinterpretation that I don't know if people knew was offered by Rowan. And so Peggy shared with us a practice of letting go. And tonight, I thought we would continue that practice of beginning anew. Continuing that practice of waking ourselves back up to what's important in our lives. One of the ways I like to think of beginning anew is there's a group of children sitting with Thich Nhat Hanh, the founder of Plum Village Community and our root teacher. And one of the children was eating a chocolate ice cream cone. And Thich Nhat Hanh said to the person, "I can teach you how to enjoy each bite of that ice cream cone as though it's the first one." And it's such a perfect encapsulation of beginning anew. Because I don't know about you, but when I eat ice cream or something like that, like I really like the first one, and then I'm like, I gotta have a little more. And then I eat it, and then pretty soon I've eaten the whole thing, but I haven't enjoyed it like I did in that very first bite. So the practice of beginning anew is bringing that kind of attention and curiosity and delight and wonder into each moment, whether we're eating ice cream, or whether we're just sitting quietly breathing, or whatever it is we're engaged in. I went skiing with my kids yesterday at Discovery Ski Area, and I was talking to my youngest kid on the lift, and I learned snowboarding when I was old, like in my 20s. And so I didn't really grow up with it. And I was talking to him about how I still kind of think about snowboarding all the time, like what I'm doing. And I said, "What about you?" He said, "No, my body just knows what to do. Just embodied." And so I was like, I want that. I want to do that. So I actually sang some of our practice songs to myself to give my mind something else to do, because my mind was so focused on how I was engaging that I couldn't really let go into the experience. So I gave my mind something else to do. I just kind of sang some songs to myself, and it was much more enjoyable. It was a real letting go into that practice. A real letting go of interpretation, of need to control, of all these things that come up as we live our lives. And it gave me a really helpful insight into mindfulness. This was just yesterday. And when we talk about mindfulness, we talk about bringing our attention to where we want it to be, like putting it somewhere on purpose and having that quality of curiosity and engagement around it. And yet, there was this aspect where I was doing that while I was, you know, going down the mountain, but there was this other part too that was there that I couldn't quite shake, this kind of interpretive, critical part. And mindfulness practice doesn't really have that element, doesn't have that same quality of criticism, of over-analysis, of interpretation. And mindfulness brings our attention somewhere, but very loosely and gently and kindly and lovingly. Not as a way of kind of thinking about each thing we're doing, but really as a way of being with what we're doing. So mindfulness is a critical component to beginning anew, but the kind of mindfulness that lets us just be, lets us just experience, just like my youngest kid, just my body knows what to do, trusting that the body knows what to do. You know, when you take that first bite of ice cream, your body knows what to do, right? It enjoys it. It's like, oh, this is great. And you experience it. And then what happens next, usually, is that the mind is like, oh, that was nice. Let's do that again. And then it starts overanalyzing and being like, oh, yeah, I know what this is going to be like. This was so good the last time. I'm going to do it just like I did the last time. And then you take that second bite, and it's like, oh, well, that's not quite the same. It's a little bit different. It doesn't have that same impact. And then pretty soon you're just going after that craving, wanting it to be like that first bite. This happens to us in our practice, too. When we first come to meditation practice, and you sit down, and you are quiet, and you notice how busy your mind is, how active you are, and you start to follow the breath, and you're like, this is amazing. And then you're thinking about something else, and you're like, oh yeah, back here, this is great. And just coming back and forth like that is so wonderful. And you get a lot of insight into how your mind is working, insight into where your attention goes. All of this happens. But then sometimes we get a little bit in a rut and we start being like, okay, here I am sitting down again, following my breath. Yeah, I know what this is like. I know how to do this. And you get a little bored. And so then you start wandering. And all these things, happen, and it's because, partly because we've become familiarized with that experience, but partly because our mindfulness is moving into thinking. So it's not this mindfulness of just being, not this awareness of our total experience, but it becomes an interpretation of our experience. An interpretation of what we want our experience to be like. And that can be difficult. That's where this beginning anew practice comes in. We get a chance to start again, to start over. And so when we sit down and we're feeling that kind of staleness, that that rut, we can notice it. Notice that staleness, notice the rut. And then introduce a little curiosity. We can use our thinking to get us out of the rut. We can use our thinking as a tool to examine, to wonder. And I bet if we do that, if we bring that little bit of curiosity into it, we'll notice something different. We'll notice like, oh, you know, my breath was, I was noticing my breath more than one time in a row. I was noticing it twice in a row. Well, that was interesting. Maybe my attention is going where I want it to go. Mm. We can bring that rejuvenation into our practice. Yeah. And we can do it each moment. We don't have to wait until we're in a rut. We can bring that sense of wonder and curiosity into each moment as we're going about our day. Breathing in, breathing out, letting all of the interpretation go, letting all of the, oh, I've done this before, or even when is this going to be over? Any of those thoughts. Letting all of that go. Just noticing the breath. How amazing it is to breathe. If you've ever experienced a shortness of breath for any reason, maybe even just from exercise or maybe health reasons, you know what a gift it is to be able to breathe. So we bring that aliveness into each breath, because really that's where our life happens. Our life happens right now, right in this breath. Doesn't happen in the one you just had, and it doesn't happen in the one you will have. It happens right here, in this breath. Your whole life. Your whole life in one breath. It's a powerful practice to really let go into just this moment. No matter how many times you've sat down on the cushion, if today's the first time, or if you've done it hundreds or thousands of times before, you only have this breath. So often, we layer so much on top of it, making it complicated, making it feel like it's a lot of work, like it's something we have to really press hard on and get just right. Yeah. But it's actually the opposite of a lot of work. It's a true, maybe laziness, where you're not trying to do anything. You're not trying to be particularly enlightened. You're not trying to be mindful. You just are being mindful. You're just breathing and just noticing it and just aware of it. And then breathing again, if we're so lucky. And so some of the tools that we use to support this practice of mindfulness this practice of putting our attention where we want it to go, with curiosity, is to not pick and choose. And what I mean by that is, I'm not trying to control the things that are going on inside or around us. If I'm having a bad day, that's where my mindfulness is. I'm not engaging my mindfulness to do something about it. Let me explain that a little bit. You can certainly do things to change your day. But what I mean by that is, our mindfulness practice isn't a tool to manipulate our experience. It's a tool to understand and be with and just accept our experience. Because the bad day, the bad moment we're having, that's also our whole life. We don't want to throw that away. We don't want to pick and choose, oh yeah, this moment, that's the good one, I want that one. That moment I'm not going to have. We don't get to do that. We just get to experience them and enjoy them. Mm-hmm. Even when they're not pleasant. Because that's where our life is. And so one of the reasons that we have our sitting practice the way that we do, it's called mindfulness of breathing. So that practice that we guided through during the first period is practicing this ability to just notice, to just be with what's there. And yes, we did some things. We released tension. We put our attention on into the body. But then we opened up the awareness to just notice what was happening. We kind of set the stage so we could begin to accept whatever was going on. And one of the other components of of the whole Eightfold Path, but mindfulness is a spoke of that. But we also talk about concentration. So that's the ability to let our attention be where we want it to go. Concentration is that ability to keep it there. But it's not that kind of tight concentration. In fact, it's, again, the opposite. It's a very relaxed, open concentration. And so we have mindfulness, which is that awareness, and then concentration, which is putting our attention somewhere where we want it to go. As we develop that practice of concentration, we can actually widen it and not choose where we want it to go, but rather just notice where it goes. Where our concentration goes from place to place. It's a very fragile, delicate kind of concentration because it's easily interrupted by a thought or a sound or things like that. But that is a possibility. So mindfulness really helps us come back into the present moment to start again. And that's why it's so important that we don't chastise ourselves if our attention wanders, because when we notice it wandering and bring it back, that's mindfulness too. That's starting anew. It's like, oh yeah, this breath. Okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? Got some. Oh yeah, this breath. Yeah. Or, boy, my knee really hurts. When are they going to ring the bell? Oh yeah, this breath. This breath. It's a really simple way of engaging this practice, but it's very profound, and it can bring a lot of vitality and freshness and energy into your engagement with life. We always have to remember that all of the Buddha's teachings, all of them, he offered as a way of ending suffering, as a way of finding peace and ease in this world right now. And so if we're adding more suffering by concentrating, you know, too hard, or adding or using our mindfulness as a way of, oh, I really shouldn't be feeling this, or I really should be experiencing this, we can remember, oh yeah, the Buddha didn't want me to suffer anymore. He offered these teachings so I wouldn't have to suffer. And in fact, he offered these teachings so I could be fully alive each moment without adding any suffering. He recognized pain was a part of life. But suffering is not necessarily part of that. The difference there being suffering is how we relate to our painful experiences. I sometimes refer to that as the second arrow practice. If you get hit with an arrow, it hurts tremendously. That's pain. But suffering is if you get hit again in the same spot by a second arrow. Yeah. That's suffering. That's what we bring to it. Mm-mm. And so as we go about our the rest of the year, calendar year, right? It's all, there's always a year in front of us, always a year behind us. But as we go about our calendar year, maybe we can bring a little energy, a little enthusiasm to our practice that might have been lacking a little, especially if we've been doing it for a long time. Or if we've been away from it for a long time, we can always come back, begin anew. And maybe we can reawaken that whatever brought us here in the first place. I know there's a lot of us that have been coming for years, and something must bring us back. And maybe we can touch back into that original intention, that original experience we had of this practice, so we can really begin anew. And if we find ourselves flat and stale, that's okay too, because we can always begin anew. We always have that possibility to start again with this breath. Each breath, our whole life. And then we get to do it together. We get to experience that in our community. So my hope for all of us for this year is that we can continue to be vital, vitality, alive, to meet the challenges that our world faces, because there are a lot of challenges. There is so much. Well, I was going to say suffering, but I just said suffering is the interpretation. There's just a lot of pain out there. And there might be a lot of pain in here. Maybe even in here. And so we can bring the tools of this practice to easing some of that, to offering some healing, some kindness, some compassion, some love. Because we need it. We all need it. Our world needs it. So, thank you all.
Okay.